spread thoughts of goodwill, starting with yourself. Tell yourself, may I be truly happy. Put an emphasis on the truly, because it's possible to be happy about all kinds of things. But you want to find a happiness that lasts, a happiness that doesn't harm anybody. And that comes from developing good qualities inside yourself. And then spread goodwill to others. Start with people who are close to your heart, your family, your very close friends. May they find true happiness too. And then spread those thoughts out in ever-widening circles until you encompass the whole universe. You want to be able to sit here with no thoughts of ill will for anybody. Have no grudges. Just let things be. Because you have work to do inside. That's the next step. Focus on your breath. And keep watch over the mind to make sure that it stays with the breath. It's almost as if you have two minds here. The one that's focused on the breath, the other's focused on the relationship between the two. You want to keep them together. So adjust the breath so it feels good. And if any thoughts come up in the mind that would pull you away from the breath, you'd let them go. If you find that they've already pulled you away before you realize what happened, you can drop that thought. You don't have to finish it. Just let it go. You want to establish yourself right here. You want to be able to watch your own mind. Because as the Buddha said, our happiness and our suffering come from within the mind. And we do things that lead to suffering because we don't know what we're doing. So the way around that, of course, is to be more alert to what you're doing. And it starts right here, with the mind at the breath. You talking to yourself. This is purely an internal matter. Because the question of suffering is basically the mind's relationship to itself. The things you do and then the suffering that comes as a result. We may say that we suffer because of things that other people have done to us or are doing to us. But it's really how we take in that information that makes the difference between whether we're going to suffer from it or not. Arhats can live in a world where people criticize them, mistreat them, but they don't suffer. So they're setting a good example, showing that this is possible. And that the real issue is inside. Now when you solve this inside issue, as I said, it's your business, nobody else's. But other people will benefit. After all, if you're not acting on greed or aversion or delusion, you're not harming anybody. You're setting a good example. And sometimes just being around you will calm them down. So this is your responsibility right here, directly. Which is one of the reasons why the Buddha says modesty is a virtue on the path. We're not doing this to show off to anybody else. We don't have to make any notices on the social media. Because it's really our own business. When you see your own stupidity, which is a lot of what awakening is all about, seeing how stupid you've been. It's an issue between you and you. Nobody else has to know. Sometimes, of course, you hear about psychic powers that develop in the course of the meditation, but again, nobody else has to know. Because if you start displaying them to other people, then it's pride on your part. It's one of the reasons why the Buddha said, if you have powers like this, or if you have any attainments at all in your meditation in terms of gaining concentration, gaining insights, you don't talk about them to others. You talk about them with your teacher so you can know what to do with them. But otherwise, you stay quiet. There are examples in the canon. There are some examples in the forest tradition where monks did display some of their powers, and they ended up regretting it because people got all excited about the powers. They're not interested in the Dharma at all. They're interested in the powers, making it harder for the practice. And John Lee tells the story of how he visited a home one time where the mother of the house had been paralyzed for decades. And they'd been told by another monk who came through the area that another forest monk would be coming soon, and he would be able to cure the grandmother or the mother. And sure enough, he walked in the house, and she was able to get up and bow, raise her hands in Anjali to him. First time she'd moved in a long time. And then over the course of the next couple of days, she got better and better, so she could actually do chores around the house. Well, the people in the village all came looking for John Lee. They wanted him to cure their illnesses too. So he had to leave. Same with that story that we read in the readings about the monk who was able to create a little bit of rain and wind to cool the monks, other monks down. Someone else finds out about this, a layperson finds out about this. And the monk has to leave for fear of that the word is going to get out. So people have these powers and show them off. They suffer. And even if people don't have powers of any kind, but they start talking about how much they know about the Dharma, one, they can do a lot of damage. And two, even if what they say is true, the question is, why are you doing this? Are you just doing it to attract attention to yourself or what? This is why the Buddha says you should be modest about your attainments, because they actually are your business and nobody else's. But that doesn't mean you should be modest in your aims. In other words, the Buddha opens the way to you to put an end to suffering. And a lot of people say, well, I'll just be happy with generosity. I'll just be happy with observing the precepts and stop there. Doing a little bit of meditation to calm the mind down. But there's so much more the Buddha has to offer. And it's all for free, and he encourages you to take all of it. In a case like this, it's not a case of greed. You're actually doing a service to yourself directly and indirectly to others. So when the Buddha offers the path to end suffering, say, let's see how far I can go on that. It takes time and it takes energy, but it's time well spent, energy well spent. So be modest about what you can do, but don't be modest about what you aim for. The Buddha says there is something deathless inside of us. So that something has nothing to do with space or time. And it's the ultimate happiness. And we can find it by following his path. That was the good news he gave to the five brethren before he taught them the first sermon. He said that deathless has been attained. And if you do as I tell you, you'll be able to attain it too. So that's an invitation to all of us. Don't content yourself with just a little bit of practice here, a little bit of practice there. You can practice all day long. Again, nobody else has to know. But you can stay with your breath, stay grounded in your body, even as you do other chores. If there are chores that require you to do a lot of mental work, you do the mental work and then you rest. Get back into the body again as often as you can. And after a while, you begin to realize you can still do mental work and be aware of the body at the same time. So develop that skill. It requires some effort and dedication. But after all, it is the question of your happiness. Developing the foundation for a genuine happiness harms nobody, doesn't harm you, doesn't harm anybody else, and one that will not let you down. So it's something we can all do. And the practice doesn't change from monks to lay people. Lay people have some more challenges in terms of other responsibilities. But it's basically the same practice for everybody. Be grounded as you go through the day. Notice when your mind slips off. And don't be content to let it just slip off and wander around. As soon as you sense that it's slipped off, you bring it back. slips off again, you bring it back again. Each time you come back, reward yourself with the way of breathing. It feels especially good, so that the mind will be more and more inclined to want to come back. So be audacious in your practice, modest in not showing to other people what you know. Because again, you have to ask yourself, why are you showing off your knowledge? You see this all around us, people showing off their knowledge, as if the fact that they have access to social media gives them the right to spout off about whatever. And John Munn didn't take to social media, not only because they didn't have it at that time, even if they did have it at that time, he wouldn't have gone there. Because he realized that the real work was inside. And the rewards were inside as well. We read his biography. There are lots of stories about visions he had. But the monks who lived with him said he very, very, very rarely talked about those. He would talk about them only if you had visions like that in your meditation. And he would give instructions on how to deal with them, how he had dealt with them. So they didn't pose any danger, because you do have to watch out for these things. They do have dangers. You have a vision. You have an intuition. It may be true, but it may be false. You don't know where it's coming from. If John Munn had believed everything he saw, he would have gone crazy. His principle that he taught to John Fuang is that whatever comes up in your meditation, that's not a question of who's delivering the message. The question is, what is the message? And is the message in line with the Dharma? And is it something you can test? If it seems to be in line with the Dharma and it can be tested, well, you try it out. If it doesn't work, you put it aside. In other words, you use your powers of observation in terms of what you're doing right now and the results you're getting right now. That's your test. And again, it's purely your business. Often messages and visions like that are messages just for you. You don't have to go telling anybody else. And that way you're safe. You don't mislead anybody. You don't attract attention to yourself. It seems in the world nowadays everybody's trying to attract attention to themselves. But what do they do with that attention? Do they deliver messages that are of use to humanity? Or do they just sound off? Wait until you have something really generally good before you start sharing your knowledge with others. And even then, be careful. Share your knowledge when you know that it will be beneficial, not just for the sake of sharing. Have a purpose in what you say, what you reveal. And otherwise, the basic principle is keep everything quiet. Keep everything private. Because, as I said, the problem of suffering is your own private problem. When you've solved it, you've solved your big issue. But it's nobody else's business. When you're modest in what you share, but not modest in the aims of what you hope to attain, then you've learned the right balance.